Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's. If you really like puzzles, you are going to enjoy this text as I preach on it. I know, as Father Tom so well explained last week, that in the Episcopal Church, we priests do not choose the Sunday readings. Or I would have thought that this was a give it to Father Andres, the Cuban text. Not an easy one. By the way, in case you do not know me, my name is Andres. I'm one of the priests here at Christ Church, and I am truly honored to preach for you this morning. Today's text from Matthew is a short one, but it comes with so much to unpack. With the intent to entrap Jesus in what he said, the Pharisees and the Herodians sent their disciples to ask Jesus a question. After all the syrupy words that they used to set him up, they asked him, "Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" Before we get to Jesus' answer, allow me to give you some context here so that we can better understand the situation in which Jesus has been put. The Pharisees were the religious conservatives of their time. They would keep a strict interpretation of the law and do their best to resist the Roman oppressors. At this time, Palestine was a colony of the Roman Empire. The Pharisees would not pay taxes to the oppressors if they were not forced to do it. The Herodians, on the other hand, were different. They were the opposite. They were the allies of the empire. They would collaborate with the Roman oppressors and more gladly pay their taxes. Two very opposite groups representing very different interests plotted to entrap Jesus by asking him if it was lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not. They both wanted a very simplistic and specific yes or no answer. But how do you really answer such a question, knowing that both groups had come together only to get you in trouble, and only that both knowing that both groups want a very, very simple, specific yes or no answer? Well, this is the way some scholars see it, and I totally agree with them. In Jesus' response, he chooses not to give any answer. He does not allow people on any side to use him to legitimize their positions. He makes both groups equally unhappy by giving them some sort of a puzzle. Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's. What does that mean? Everything belongs to God. And for many in Palestine of Jesus' time, everything belonged to the emperor. When the text says that they were amazed, it literally means that they were shocked by Jesus' response. They were shocked because they didn't get an answer that would serve their political interests. They were shocked because the trap they thought was a perfect trap didn't work at all. But more than anything, they were shocked because Jesus' response basically said, if you want to find the right answer to your questions, you have to dig deeper. You have to start by being honest. You have to ask better questions. Jesus is not telling them what to do or what not to do beyond asking them to love and love with all their hearts and all their souls and minds, which he has been doing since the beginning of his ministry, Jesus' mission was above anything implied in their tricky question. Jesus' mission was to proclaim a kingdom of love and reconciliation. The question for us 21st century Christians today is, what can we learn from Jesus' reaction to these two very opposite groups today? At least for me, if I'm honest with myself, there is a lot to learn, because I'm no different from any of the people represented in the two groups asking Jesus for a specific yes or no answer, because I also want to know who is right and who is wrong. Period. That's how we work. That's how our minds are set. I grew up in a country where everything was black and white, even the pictures. And I'm serious, actually, the pictures I love the most from my infancy are all black and white. Everything where I come from was an either or. You were a socialist or a traitor, a Catholic or a Protestant, a good or a bad person, period. It was that simple. Or in better words, that simplistic. What Jesus is telling me might be different than what he is telling you, but at least to me, it sounds like a holy invitation to protect myself from the temptation to believe that by taking sides, I have found the absolute truth and that everyone else is wrong, because there is nothing farther from the truth. And it is an invitation to protect myself from the temptation to believe that I need to have an answer for everything and for everyone. Our mission as baptized members of the body of Christ is to proclaim the good news of God in Christ. And if we do that intentionally, if we do it right, we might not necessarily make everybody happy. We are no different from the Herodians or the Pharisees in this text in our search for specific answers. We want to know who is right and who is not. And maybe we are even tempted to think that Jesus also takes sides, and of course, our side. But that's not how it works. Instead of specific and simplistic answers, Jesus will invite us to believe him, to dig deeper in his love, to follow him in faith, even with all the ongoing uncertainties, despite of our doubts and imperfections. Love is the answer. There are no more answers than that. Everything else is a puzzle. The presiding bishop puts it in this way: if it is not about love, it is not about God. Now, please bear with me here as I take a turn in the conversation. As Father Tom mentioned last week, we are in stewardship season. I knew that that pause would be a good one. I personally believe that stewardship season is always judging season. How can it not be? If you're taking it seriously, you might be judging how much of your time, treasure, and talent you are willing to share with God in this portion of the kingdom that is Christ Church. So as you do your discernment, I want to invite you to be generous. And I'm not only talking about money, though that would be great. I'm talking about generosity of heart, which is something much greater. As you make your plans, I want to remind you that we at Christ Church constantly pray God to guide us in the right direction. As we move through the challenges of this life, we might, as Jesus did, leave some people unhappy on every side of this broken and polarized world. Because as for Jesus, our mission is not to take sides, but to preach the truth of the gospel and to preach love. And contrary to what you might think, that is a hard job to do. But when I do my own judging, as we all do, I think about all the love that goes out of our church doors and into this world. And it gives me an overwhelming joy. And for me, that's all I need to know. As you pray God to guide you to be a better disciple, and I hope you do pray about that, as you do your own discernment, I want to invite you to listen to God's voice, to listen to His calling, inviting you to be a part of the difficult but blessed work of sharing His love, because that's what it is all about. Call to mind all of your blessings and think about how much of that belongs to God and how much you're willing to give back. After all, when we keep to ourselves the blessings with which we have been blessed, we might run the risk of becoming our own emperors. Give, therefore, to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people. Amen.